Good morning. Praise the Lord. Yes. Say with me, I. Come on, louder. I am excited about Jesus. Might as well get his name out there, right? Yes. I tell you what, I'm excited about Jesus. I want to encourage you. I like that. It said, what will we expect when he comes again? What will we expect? You know, and that's the part we have to be really aware of today in the world that we live in, especially in the church age right now. Because today we're taught that this is going to be heaven on earth right here. The emerging church is something that do away with the old and let's bring on the new here. This is not it. And there's a new movie coming out called The Submerging Church. You got to buy it. You can find it at Olive Tree Ministries. And it's really fascinating because Satan is deceiving people by the multitudes right now. And I got to keep bringing it up because we are in some serious times, people. We're in serious times. When you get to the point where you want to take a rock star by the name of Bono and make him an image within the church, it's a pretty sad time. And in that part of it's in the movie and everything, too. I won't get into it, but you got to see it to keep yourself aware of what's happening because it comes in subtly. It doesn't come in so, like it did say, that we don't have to be afraid of the cults out there. They're obvious. And the Islamic movement right now, that's obvious. But this other thing, you can't nail it to the wall. It's like Jell-O. They'll move whichever direction they have to keep it going. And so I'm going to keep bringing it in. As long as, if Jesus tarries and I'm still standing here, I'm going to keep telling you about it. Amen? Amen? Because we have to be aware of it. I got a real hard title for my sermon today. Anybody going to remember that one? Palm Sunday. You know, I was going to bring a palm, but I thought I'd just wear a shirt. It's easier. It's green like a palm here anyway, so. But, you know, and another thing today, too, you know, I thank the Lord that Jesus resurrected from the dead. Because today is April 1st. How many knew today was April 1st? What day is that? April. Yes, and whose celebration is that? The atheist. A fool has said in his heart, there's no God. And I tell you what, this past week, Fox News, they had a bunch of people. They got them all plastered on buses and stood before the Capitol this last week. And they had families up there with their children and all saying, we are a great family without God. We are a family that doesn't need God. And they were going from family to family to family telling how they don't need God. And I tell you what, I wish I could have been there because I would have said, well, when you're laying on your deathbed, will you say the same thing? Because they probably don't. Because when you go into eternity, you better know where you're going. I tell you what, we got work to do, don't we? And that's why I say I got some more tracts over there. Hand out tracts. You know, I'm not so much concerned that they come to Crossfire Assembly. I want to get people born again. I want them born again. I'm not afraid to say that, by the way. I want them born again, blood bought, Holy Ghost filled. And that's you and I that are going to do the work. If we let up and we just want to try to be good people, we're wasting our time. We really are. There's guys that I talked to one time, and he says, I think that we can be a witness just by living a good, clean life. And I said, no, you can't. There's a lot of good people in the world that even live better than Christians sometimes, and they aren't going to win anybody to Jesus. We have to proclaim. We need to preach the word of God. And if preaching is handing out a tract, then you and I should be doing it, shouldn't we? Yeah. We're the church. Amen. And I tell you, it's going to be fun and exciting when you see Jesus, when he says, come on over here, Sister Ruth. Come over here. You don't have to answer. You see that tract he handed out in 2012? That person over there got born again. And then they got that person saved. They witnessed to that person, and it just goes down the line. That's how the kingdom of heaven is growing. It's because of you and I. Don't let up on it. Get radical. Get mean. Get nasty about it. Hand them out. I mean that in a good way, by the way. A little boy was sick on Palm Sunday, and he stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from the church holding a palm branch. The little boy was curious and asked, why do you have that palm branch, Dad? You see, when Jesus came into town, everybody waved palm branches to honor him. So we got palm branches today. The little boy replied, oh, bummer. The one Sunday I miss is the Sunday that Jesus shows up. See, I warned you. If you miss a Sunday here, you're going to miss it because Jesus shows up. And just think, our Lord is in here through His Holy Spirit right now. He's with each one of you. He sees your hearts. He sees your minds. He sees everything that's going on. Every time we come together corporately too, the Holy Ghost is here. Jesus is here. That should bring comfort into your heart. Amen? Luke 19, verses 28, 31, it says, "And when he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent out two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. Because the Lord has need of him." You know, I thought about that little old colt too. No man ever sat on him. Just think, God prepared that colt for that moment of time. Isn't that something? Everything in life the Lord touches, He's got a purpose for it. Isn't that something? That I bet that was a cute little guy too. Of course, I don't know if it was a big one. I don't know what kind it was. So the message of Palm Sunday is a message that everybody needs to hear. John is the only gospel to specifically mention palm branches. The palm branch was a symbol of triumph and victory in Scripture. Leviticus 23:40 says, "In the Feast of Tabernacles, and ye shall take you on the first day the boughs of goodly trees, branches of palm trees, and the boughs of thick trees, and the willows of the brook, and ye shall rejoice before the Lord your God 7 days." And again, in Revelation 7:9, "And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands." What an incredible sight that's going to be, huh? What an incredible sight, that palm branch. Multitudes of us are going to be standing like this, worshiping God in heaven, with those waving them back and forth, the palm branch. This is Palm Sunday. Praise the Lord. That's going to be an incredible time in heaven, worshiping the Lamb. I tell you what, start doing it now. Start rejoicing and praising God now, even in the privacy of your home, in your car, when you're driving down 694 or 35, wherever you're at. Get radical in your car. I tell you what, you'll fall more and more in love with Jesus when you learn to do it on your own instead of being motivated by somebody else. Even when you don't feel like it, when you're going through a tough time in life, just begin to say, "Lord, I praise you, I worship you," and feel the warmth and the touch of God's Holy Spirit come in and begin to minister into your heart and your life. And when that happens, guess what happens, brothers and sisters? You begin to rejoice. As you see God touching your life, then it gets easier and easier. It might start out the most difficult thing in the world is to want to lift your hands and worship this King of Kings. But that's how you do it. You do it by faith. You don't feel like it. You don't want to do it. You're angry or whatever's going on in your life. You just don't do it. But, you know, that's the time to do it. I've done that. When I used to travel the country all by myself, four or five states around, there'd be times it's kind of lonely when you're leaving town, not coming home for a week and everything. And I begin to praise the Lord. And He'd just show up in my car. And I'd get encouraged. And then I'd be dialing for something, singing about Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because of this detail of the palm branches and the scene of the crowd greeting Jesus as He entered Jerusalem by waving palm branches and carpeting His path with them has given the day its name, Palm Sunday. Must have been a lot of them. I don't know if they were holding Him or throwing Him or whatever that scene was, but it must have been an incredible sight when Jesus was entering that time. But there's much more to this story for us to understand. Our text stated that before going to Jerusalem, Jesus was staying in Bethany at the home of His close friend Lazarus, Mary and Martha. The Gospel of John records Jesus having dinner with His friends. This was to be Jesus' last moments of peace and comfort on earth, and He knew it. His last moments. He knew that they were coming up. He knew what He had to face shortly, but that He was taking time out to have that time with His friends. And He was taking that time. You know, when I thought about that too, it was His last moments of peace and comfort on earth. And you know something? I'm not going to apologize for saying this, but you know something? That's part of eternity that we need to be thinking about. If we don't have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and our blood, our sins under the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, this is our last time of comfort. Last time for all eternity. Because in hell there will be no comfort ever again. And you need to take that seriously. Charles Spurgeon was a person, and I'm going to misquote what they said about him, but he made comment about he had eternity planted on his eyes. Everything he thought, did, and thought, he thought about eternal souls. And I believe Jesus did too. That's why he came to earth. That's why we're talking about it today in Palm Sunday, because Jesus thought about eternity continually, and he was not afraid. Did you know that he even talked on hell more than all the disciples together, anybody else in Scripture? That's how concerned Jesus is about it. And that's why we cannot back away from it. That's why we need to speak the whole Word of God. Amen? You got to get fired up. Praise the Lord. See, while he was there, Jesus sent two of his disciples into the village to receive a colt or donkey that had never been ridden before. Jesus was going to ride this donkey into Jerusalem. But I want to draw your attention to a few details on this event. First of all, the fact that Jesus is going to Jerusalem is really significant. On many other occasions, we find Jesus leaving Jerusalem because of the dangers. He was always constantly being watched and looked at, and his life was being threatened every time he was in Jerusalem. On many other occasions, we find Jesus leaving Jerusalem because of the dangers he faced there, and that is why most of Jesus' ministry was around the Galilee area. But on this occasion, it was especially difficult. Jesus knew what he was about to face in Jerusalem. He knew he was about to be turned, about to be tortured. He knew it. He knew that he was. See, he was in human flesh. Do you think that Jesus might have had fear at that moment, the time as he was entering Jerusalem and he knew that his time was getting closer and closer? Do you really believe that he just walked in brave and he just knew everything? No, he was in human flesh and he had to experience what torture was like and all the mutilation of his body and everything that was going to happen. I can imagine that Satan was trying to put so much fear in him that he wanted to turn away. And that's why you and I can sit there when you have pain in your body, when you have something in your body and you just say, Lord, do you understand? Jesus can say, yes, I understand. He did. He was tortured. He knows what pain is. He knows what it feels like in every avenue that pain can come manifest. Jesus experienced it because his torture was greater than any man. He knew he was about to be crucified, Jesus again in human flesh. Can you imagine what must have been hammering upon his mind? He knew that he was going to take the blackness and the darkness of all filthy sin from all time, and he was going to bring it upon himself, hanging on this cross, and the pain he was going to have to suffer while being there. For you and I, our sins were part of what was getting nailed on that cross. We need to remember that so we're grateful to Jesus every moment of our life that it was our filthy, sinful lives that was put up on that cross. And if I affected your self-esteem right now, so what? So what? Who cares? Because when it's all said and done, it's what Jesus did on Calvary's cross. And you know something, that's why I preach the gospel unashamedly, because I no longer have Lynn's self-esteem. I got Christ's esteem. I only care what Jesus thinks in the sense of eternity. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand for what we believe like Jesus did. See, the Jerusalem road on Palm Sunday was not the road to freedom. It was a road to sacrifice. It was not the road to power. It was a road to humility. It was not the road to fame. It was the road to death. Just think when he's riding in there, when the people were shouting and praising him as he's coming in, he in his mind already knew, I'm coming here to die. I'm coming here to die on a cross, and nobody there knew that. It was not the road the crowd thought. It was the road God planned. It was his road. And see, that's the danger in today too. We think we know better than God. We think we got God's road planned out, but God already laid out his plan. It hasn't changed. It's still the same road that he planned out, and we need to stick to his road if we're going to make it all the way. Amen? You still with me? Now, do you still love me? That's important. You don't have to like me. I'm always going to remind you that, but you need to love me as I need to love you. Amen? Because then we're the true church. Because then what Jesus did on Calvary's cross comes to reality. Amen? Praise the Lord. Man, I'm getting excited here. To add to the difficulty, Jesus was about to enter Jerusalem in a way he'd never done it before. Jesus wasn't about to enter, was about to enter Jerusalem riding a colt. He wasn't going to walk in there, and he wasn't going to sneak into Jerusalem either. Jesus wasn't a coward in no way, no how, no where. But on this trip to Jerusalem, Jesus was going to make a very public declaration of who he was. See, in times of war, a king would always ride on a stallion or a horse. Always. In times of peace, a king would ride a colt or a donkey. For Jesus to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey was to declare that he was the king. This was a time like no other in the history of Israel. How would the people of Israel react to this as he come riding in? The Gospel of John gives us some great insight into this story that the other Gospels do not record. It says in John 12, 1, 2, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. I could imagine that time. Here Lazarus was dead in a tomb, and he was sitting at a table now with Jesus and Martha eating. Can you imagine when Lazarus looked at Jesus, the one who raised him from the dead, that said, Lazarus, come forth. And he was sitting across the table from him looking at the creator of the universe. Couldn't you imagine that meal? Wow. Are you getting a little bit excited? John 12, 9, 13 says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only. Isn't that interesting? But that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. They wanted to see a dead man walking. The people wanted to show up. They wanted to see that guy that was dead and wrapped in grave clothes walking before him. That was a big thing coming. It wasn't just Jesus being focused on at that moment. But the chief priest consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death. I wonder if Lazarus went... I bet he never expected that. He was raised from dead. He's popular too. Everybody's looking now. I want to see Lazarus, the dead guy that came alive. And here it says that they were thinking about putting Lazarus to death too. Because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Did you hear that? They believed on Jesus. Not in Jesus, but on Jesus. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Can you imagine the shouts at that time in the city with the multitude shouting that? Wow. Just a short time before Palm Sunday, Jesus had performed his greatest miracle, the raising of his friend Lazarus from the dead. We don't know exactly how much time passed between those two events, but we do know that when the people found out that Jesus was at Lazarus' house, they came not only to see Jesus, but to see Lazarus. They wanted to check out this miracle for themselves. How many of you would go someplace if you heard there's dead people being raised? Huh? How many of us would go over to one of the hospitals here and, man, there's some dead people. They're coming out of their beds, left and right. I'm going to get over there. Most of us stand out by the door, though. I don't want no dead guy touching me. Well, you know, one time we had a friend that told us where he was doing missionary work? In Haiti? Haiti, he said at night that, you know, people that, you know, zombie? Is that how you pronounce it? Zombies? And the people are almost dead or something. Anyway, they would walk the streets at night, literally, because they were demon infested and they were propped up by demonic power. And that wasn't the case here with Lazarus, though. See, the Bible says that the very next day was Palm Sunday. The latest buzz in the city of Jerusalem was the talk of Lazarus being raised from the dead. When Jesus came riding into town on Palm Sunday, there was electricity in the air. Could you imagine that? There was excitement. There was a topic of conversation rattling back and forth through the crowds about there's Jesus. there's this man who raised Lazarus from the dead. And just prior to that, you know, he healed the impotent man too on the Sabbath. And then he healed the blind man before that too on the Sabbath. And that's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees hated him, because he was stepping on their religious laws. And this is the man who did those things. This is the man who was healing the sick and raising the dead and setting captives free. I want to see him. And there was excitement going through that city. And to add to all that, it was Passover time. There was people gathering in Jerusalem far and wide for the Passover celebration. The Passover is the greatest and most celebrated event in the Jewish calendar. Imagine going to the Minnesota State Fair on a weekend. I've never been there, but just imagine it. Like a busy city, crowds are overwhelming the streets. The city is teeming with life. I've driven by there with car traffic, though, so I do know a portion of it. But that's the type of thing. There was multitudes of people there for that event. And there were, it was an incredible time. You could imagine, like they said, the electricity in the air, the excitement, the expectation, what was going to happen. That's what it's like in Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. There are people everywhere, and most of them are talking about Jesus. Think of the people who are in Jerusalem on this day. Jesus' disciples were there, no doubt about that. Among the crowds would be those Jesus had healed. Can you imagine all the people that Jesus healed? Wanting to see Jesus! It's me! I'm still healed! It's me! I got my leg back! We don't know. Jesus could have put new limbs on people for all we know. There's not enough Bible here to put them all in. And we don't know all the people and how many were there, but the power of God was there, and those people that came to see Jesus knew that that power was coming in before them, because it was that power that brought relief into their bodies and their mental minds and everything else, and they knew it. They wanted to see this Jesus. There would be many of his followers there. Those who had witnessed his miracles and heard his teachings would be there. But there would be others as well. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, the keepers of the law, those who were jealous of Jesus, those who felt threatened by Jesus. John 11, 56 and 57 says, "Then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple, 'What think ye, that he will not come to the feast?'" They would have been upset if he wouldn't have made it there. "Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees, that if any man knew where he were, he should shew it, that they might take him." See, they were ready to get Jesus. You could imagine their minds working and preparing and watching for every little detail, everything Jesus said, and how the reaction of the crowds were. They were looking for reasons and opportunities to grab Jesus. They were there at that time. Then there were the Romans, the occupying government. They would be there, watching and waiting for any sign of rebellion against Rome. They would be there in force, ready to crush any uprising. Could you imagine all the different sources and things that were happening in that city that day? I believe that Jesus knew what he was doing when he rode into that city riding on a colt. He knew he was asking for trouble, because Rome wasn't going to back down easily. That's why the triumphal entry is an aberration. Jesus understood that peace would come by way of the cross and the sword. See, it was out of the normal. But Jesus knew it was coming through the cross, not by a sword, that he would conquer. All these people had heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem that day. They were waiting on both sides of the road. Many of them laid their cloaks down on the streets as a sign of reverence to this king. They had cut down palm branches in anticipation of his arrival. Have you ever been at a big parade? When there's been people lined up on both sides, scores and scores, or if the president was going to drive down a certain avenue, or at funerals or weddings that were national throughout the country, you see how the multitudes lined up. That's the way it was in Jerusalem. People were anticipating and they were waiting for this King Jesus to come through. And here they could see him in a distance coming down the road on this colt, riding on a colt. And they're shouting and praising him. Then finally Jesus arrives riding on a colt. Surely this is their king. People are pushing and shoving each other to get a glimpse of him. The people are waving their palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord." The excitement. And then shortly after that, a few minutes later, not very long, Away with him! Crucify him! The very same people who were saying Hosanna, the very same people turned on Jesus within a moment. And I like in the story of Jesus when he got a hold of Peter and he said, Peter, Peter, do you really love me? We got to ask ourselves, do we really love Jesus? Do we truly really love him? Because look at how the crowd turned on him within a moment's time. They turned on him. And we think we got it all together sometimes. We're so spiritual. Oh, we're it. But we need to sincerely look at our heart and say, God, do I really love this Savior who died on Calvary's cross? Do I really love him? Do I really love this Christ that died for my sins? Sometimes we have to allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, don't we? This is the setting that Jesus rides into on Palm Sunday. Now imagine with me how Jesus must have felt that day. Jesus understood that there were just a few more days until his crucifixion. Jesus knew that the thousands of people who were shouting Hosanna to the King would be shouting away with him, crucify him in just a few days' time. Jesus knew that the people did not really understand what this moment meant. They were caught up in the moment. They had heard all about the wonderful things that Jesus could do. They thought that Jesus was coming to rescue them from their oppressors. And that's the problem in the modern church today, too. We want to go where it's popular. We want to see things, and we get caught up in the moment instead of looking at the reality of it. And that's why people backslide away from Jesus, too, because they get discouraged when they leave the moment. It isn't what they expected. They expected Jesus to become the physical king of Israel and restore her back to her glory days as it was under King David. Yes, there were a few in the crowd who really knew Jesus. There were, but even they did not understand what was really happening. They also thought that Jesus would rescue them from Rome. You see, when Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on a colt, the people understood it to mean that Jesus was claiming to be a conquering king, a warlord who would come in and crush Rome. That's really what was in their thinking, in their mind. They were excited. There's our king. There's our king. The prophecy often quoted as being fulfilled by the triumphal entry reads as follows in Zechariah 9:9. It says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, the king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt, the foal of an ass." That is why they were waving palm branches and shouting, Hosanna. See, Hosanna, did you know what Hosanna means when we were singing that? It means God saves. Saves. God saves. Hosanna! Save us, God. That's what they were shouting. John 12:37 and 38 says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him." Did you hear that? They believed not on him. The devils believe in Jesus, don't they? But two times now I've said that. Yet they believed not on him. They didn't believe in him and on him for who he is and what he stood for. Verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "I, or the Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed." See, the people missed the message. Jesus was not riding a horse as a king of war would, but was riding a colt, the symbol of peace. Jesus had come to Jerusalem not with a political message, but with a spiritual message. We have to remember that. We're being taught today that this can be a better place. It can be a kingdom if the church gets involved in politics and all the other things and be in community. But we got to be careful of that message because we should be delivering a spiritual message to a lost and dying world. We need to be praying for the things in this nation and in this world, but we have a spiritual message within our hearts. God's called us to proclaim. He's called us to proclaim the good news. Jesus had come to Jerusalem as King of peace and love and compassion. Jesus had come to Jerusalem with a message of forgiveness. Just think, that's why he was there. A message of forgiveness. Luke 19:41 and 44 says, verses 41 through 44, "And when he was come near, he beheld the city, and he wept over it, saying, if thou hast known, even thou, at least in this day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, encompass thee round, and keep thee on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knowest not the time of the visitation. They knowest not the time of visitation. Did you hear that? Did you know that Jesus is visiting here today? Did you know that Jesus is visiting in our world today? And we don't know the time? Jesus says, beware of the time, doesn't he? He said, beware of the time in which we live. But his visitation's here in a different way, but it's here. Jesus desires to give us peace in our life. This day that would bring you peace. Peace, what a great word it is, isn't it? Peace. How many of us always want peace? This world's tough, isn't it? It's getting tougher, and we want peace in our hearts and our minds. And that's what Jesus came to give us also. Worlds and governments chase after it, peace. Jerusalem means the city of peace. But war for Jerusalem was waiting in the wings, according to Luke 19, 43 and 44, because God's people had rejected him. They rejected him. But Jesus came to his disciples and spoke these words in John 14, 26 and 28. He says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Who's going to teach us all things? Who? Come on, who did you say? Man, are you guys Pentecostal in here? I mean, seriously. Holy Ghost! Yeah. I mean, let's let the devil know that we really believe what we mean and we're excited because we know it is the Holy Ghost that teaches us. It's not man. That's why we need to read the Word of God. You need to be in your Bibles and let the Holy Ghost teach you. So we have a fire in our hearts and a joy in our life that we can overcome in this world we live. Amen? I don't apologize for getting radical and excited. Because if we're not, who is, people? Who is? He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be it afraid. We don't have to be afraid or troubled in the times we live, because God will give us the peace that Jesus promised. Ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, I like that. Did you read that in there? If ye loved me, there's that little if in there. If ye love me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Jesus wants us to have peace in our lives, brothers and sisters, only the type of peace that he can give, only his. When Jesus ascends the hill to Jerusalem, and when he gets close enough to hear the people's cry and see the palm branches waving in the air, his heart sinks in his chest, and Jesus begins to cry. We read that in Luke 19, 41. Why did he cry? Why did Jesus cry at that moment? This is the one and only time in Scripture we find Jesus crying over a multitude of people. The only other account where Jesus cried is when his best friend Lazarus died in John 11, 35. It's not that Jesus wasn't emotional, because he was. Jesus had compassion on the multitudes. That is what moved him to perform miracles. But Jesus cried over the multitudes only one time. The Greek for wept in this verse is kleio, meaning to wail, not dark rue, to shed silent tears, as in John 11, 35, when he cried for Lazarus. It refers, and listen to this now, where he wept there, it refers to crying, lamentations, bewailing, out loud. He was weeping. He was wailing in his spirit and weeping before the multitudes. That was Jesus. He was looking over Jerusalem at the masses of people. He loved them, even though they were going to be cursing him. He loved them and he wept over them, because he knew what was going to come down upon them, and they were going to be totally annihilated, destroyed, and put in slavery and whatever else. And he knew it. And he was the answer to what they needed in life. And if they would have just accepted me at that point, they could even change that city and change their world at that point. But they didn't. And Jesus wept emotionally. He weeping and wailing freely and openly before the multitudes. It was on Palm Sunday that Jesus cried for all humanity. It was on Palm Sunday that Jesus cried for all of his children. It was on Palm Sunday that Jesus cried for you and me. It was. We were there too. He could see the future, and he saw every person in every sin of the future that he knew he was going to be taking. The reason Jesus cried was because the people had totally missed the message. He saw the masses of people lining the streets, crying out to him to rescue them, to save them. He saw their faces. He looked into their eyes, and he saw the emptiness that was there. He ever looked at somebody and saw emptiness in them? I have. They're empty. I've talked to people that say that they're Christian, and I look at them, and I can see that they're totally empty. They don't have anything within them because they've never, ever trusted in Jesus Christ. And they're empty. They did not understand why he had come. They had missed the message of peace and love and forgiveness. And all he could do was weep and cry over them and say, if you only understood why I came. That was his cry to the people. If you only understood, people. See, he wouldn't force them. He was a loving God. He said, if you understand why I'm here. Today, while we sit in here in Crossfire, do you understand why Jesus died on the cross for you? And by his precious blood, our sins are forgiven. Do you understand that? And the benefits we have through that death? He saw their faces. Then they did not understand. And all he could do is weep and cry over them and say, if you only understood why I came, if you could only know what this day is all about, if the people had understood the message of Christ, what could have been possible for them? Jesus was crying because the people had missed an opportunity to change their future. They had missed an opportunity to change the world. And that's why I want to encourage you, whatever's going on in your life, what influence, what anything that's difficult in your life right now, don't let it overcome you. Turn to Jesus. Because if you go any other direction, you will ruin your future that Jesus has got planned for you. If you stay with Jesus in the midst of trials and tribulations, he will walk you through those times. He will give you the strength. See, they missed an opportunity to change their world. And I believe that sometimes Jesus looks at our lives and weeps sometimes. He is grieved because of our spiritual condition. Also that we reject him or don't give him all of ourselves. That we would rather live for self than live for him. That we would rather be selfish instead of selfless. That we would rather live for the world than live for his kingdom. And these are all true, even within the church today. I wonder if he grieved at what he sees in your life today and my life. Jesus sees beyond the outward appearance of things. Man looks outwardly, but God looks on the inside. Everybody here, he reads us. He's reading your email right now. We can all come. I can come dressed in a suit and everything and say, I'm Mr. Spiritual. And God says, you're dead. He looks on the inside. He can read the things that man can. We can deceive each other and fake each other out, put on a facade, but Jesus sees it all. Prepare yourselves. Judgment's coming. If you do the judgment now, you won't have to get judged later for it. If you get it under the blood. Amen? He sees beyond the outward in our lives, the facade that hides our inward sin, the smile that hides our inward tears, the face that hides inward pain. I want you to know today that he not only sees beyond the outward, but he cares about our pain. He cares about it. He really, truly does. That's why he wept. One of the reasons. Luke 19, 42 and 44, Jesus said, if thou hast known. Some of us here today need to ask that question, do I know? He would say to us, if you'd only known that it was me working in your life, you would have stayed with me and committed this thing to me. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Palm Sunday could have been a new beginning for Israel. Israel had an opportunity to show Rome something new and meaningful. Israel missed a glorious opportunity to be a light in a dark world. That's why I say pass out tracts. You have the greatest opportunity. If you don't, we don't always have time to verbally share the gospel, but if we can hand out tracts, we are sharing the gospel in a different manner, but it's getting the word out. We have an opportunity. Is your heart beating here today? Is it? Is the blood flowing through your bodies? Then you can pass out a tract. You can do it. And just think, if somebody gets born again, you may never know it, but just think if they do. I want to encourage you to continually evangelize. This should be an evangelizing church. I don't care, again, I said earlier, if they come to Crossfire, I care if they get born again. Jesus loves souls. Sometimes we have to stand alone, but do it, brothers and sisters. Too caught up in the realm of the physical to be concerned about the... We are too caught up in the realm of the physical to be concerned about the spiritual. They were too caught up in their temporal life to be concerned about their eternal life. See, that's why Jesus wept. He had spent his entire life trying to get this message across to them, but they missed the message. That is why Jesus wept. When Jesus looked at the city of Jerusalem, all he could see was the beautiful temple in ruins and the enemies of God crushing the people on every side. See, he could literally see it. That's why Jesus wept. So the message of Palm Sunday was not changed in 2,000 years. Jesus is still weeping today. I believe that. I believe he is. See, in heaven there's going to be weeping. We don't know how long that weeping's going to be. But there's going to be weeping there. Jesus will wipe away all tears, but for a moment of time, there's going to be weeping in heaven. He is weeping for your family today, brothers and sisters. He literally is. He's weeping for our cities. He's crying over his church today. But he's weeping. His weeping is about over. There is a day very near where the Bible says that Jesus is coming back, not on a colt, but he's coming on a white horse. Amen. Hallelujah! A beautiful white horse Jesus is coming on. In other words, he's coming back not as a peaceful king, but as a conquering king. He's coming to defeat the enemies of this world once and for all, the enemies in your life, in my life, in the world. He's coming to conquer on that white stallion. Our king is coming, and he's going to take over, and he's going to get rid of all this hurt and pain and disgust upon this earth. He's coming. Did you know that you and I can be a part of that army? I want to be part of that army. You can be a part of that army if you receive the message today. You can. When on that day, it will be too late to receive anything from God. Don't wait till that day. It's going to be too late. On that day, it will be too late to wave palm branches and cry Hosanna. When on that day, it will be too late to save your family. You won't be able to text them or give them an email. It's too late. Once it starts, it starts. That's why when people come in late for church, and please don't, I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation or legalism here, but I always have fun doing it anyway, saying, if you don't be late for the rapture. You know what I mean? Once the trumpet's blowing or your heart stops beating, you have no more opportunities for anything. It's done. It's done. The people of Israel were so caught up in their problems that they tried to make Jesus into somebody he wasn't, and that's happening today too. They want Jesus to be somebody else. They tried to make Jesus into the Jesus they wanted. They tried to make Jesus into the Jesus that was useful to them, and we're seeing it before our very eyes today. And Jesus says, from such, turn away. Get away from them. When they found out that Jesus would not follow, would not be the Jesus they wanted, they rejected him. Their cry changed from Hosanna, save us, to he is guilty, crucify him. And the very same people that were laying their coats down in the reverence for Jesus murdered him 5 days later. This world is making Jesus into the Jesus they want. They are making Jesus into the Jesus that is useful to them, and we're watching it before our very eyes, and we need to be careful that we do not do it also. That's why we need to read the Word and find out who Jesus is, the type of Jesus is his. It's all about him in here, his character, the who he is, his love, his mercy, his compassion, his anger, his joy, his happiness, who he is. He's got fingers and toes and nose and ears. It's Jesus in the Bible that you need to study about, not look at some dummy sitting on television that says, we don't need it. It's not relevant anymore today. We need this Jesus that's in here. That's who we need. But the Bible says that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are either for him or we're against him. We either accept his message or we reject it. There's no gray areas with God. None. I have to ask myself, am I anything like the Jewish people on Palm Sunday? Am I too caught up in the cares of this life to consider the things that are of eternal importance? Is Jesus weeping over me this morning? What does Jesus see when he looks into your face? Is Jesus weeping over you today? Anything in your life today that he's weeping about today? You need to ask yourself that. We can't make Jesus into who we want him to be. We can't. If Jesus doesn't fit into your plans, you need to change your plans. If Jesus doesn't fit in your life, you need to change your life. Or better yet, allow Jesus to change your life. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. That's what I get excited about. He changed me from what I was to what I am, and he's still working on me, because how many know old Lynn's not perfect in here? Come on, put him up. Kind of keeps you humble, doesn't it? Don't get too caught up in your life on this earth that you miss out on what Jesus has been planning for your eternity. Right? Satan's trying to do his best to get us so focused on this earth that we miss what God is getting ready for us. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. You need his grace today. You need his mercy today. You need his love today. You need his forgiveness today. And you need his spirit. You can be the light in your dark world. You can be an example to those around you. I wonder what would happen on Sunday 2,000 years ago had the people understood. I wonder what would have happened that Sunday had the people accepted Jesus as their spiritual king. But what I really wonder about most is what could happen in our communities if we really understood how much Jesus wants to impact our world. Let's all stand up, please. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Holy Spirit, move through us, Lord. Lord, I pray openly right now by the power of the Holy Spirit that this message would speak to anybody in here, because you read the hearts of the people, Father, and you know that they're the doubt that's in a heart today that said, I don't really know if I'm really, really truly saved, if I'm really committed to you 100%, Lord. But you do, Lord. And if that's the voice of the shepherd, my last week's message, I want you to come up here today publicly. And you say, oh, I can't do that, Pastor Lynn. There's no way. People think I'm a Christian already. Who cares? You got to think eternal. If you need to come up here, I would advise you and ask you politely to please come up before it's too late. You need to come up. You need to surrender 100%. And if you don't know for sure, you need to realize that you don't want to turn from Jesus. Should the world heat up and heat up and heat up, that you will turn from him. Is there anybody here today and you want to come forward? Just come forward before it's too late. Don't care what other people think. Believe me, don't care. If you do, you'll never be living for Jesus 100%. I could care less. If I got to get something right with Jesus, man, I get it right with Jesus. Nobody's going to belittle you. Nobody's going to think less of you. Amen? It doesn't matter. It's all about Jesus. I want to see him. I want you to see him. Amen? We're in this together. Let's pray right now. I'm going to pray a prayer, and I want you to just repeat it with me, and you mean it in your heart. The Lord will do the work, but I just want to guide you through a prayer today, and let the gentleness of the Holy Spirit just speak to your heart. And anybody out here, just speak up with all of us, okay, because we're in this together. Let's encourage. Heavenly Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. And Lord, I come before you right now. I want to acknowledge you.
I want to acknowledge you
is my Lord and Savior.
My Lord and Savior.
And my soon coming King.
And my soon coming King.
And I would ask, Lord, that that blood that was shed on Calvary's cross, let it wash away the sins in my life. From the day I was born to the point where I stand here right now. I ask for forgiveness of my sins. And I invite you in, Jesus,
through
the power of your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I don't want just 99.9.
But I want
100% of you and me right now. And I thank you, Jesus,
for dying
and coming again to life from the dead
for my sins
and giving me a hope and a future.
And I trust you right now, Jesus,
that I am born again.
Should anything happen to me,
I know I belong to Jesus.
Not because of any works,
but because of my trust on you, Jesus.
And I thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
And everybody said,
amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lord bless you.
Lord bless you, brother.
Lord bless you.
It's okay. It's better to be sure, isn't it? Because eternity, you can't come back.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Glory to God.
Heavenly Father, again, we come before you and we thank you for what Jesus did on this Palm Sunday. He knew what he was riding into, but he still kept going. He saw our sins and he knew that he had to get to that cross. Satan tried to deter him every inch of the way, every mile, even from his birth all the way to that point. Satan tried to stop him from getting to that cross by tempting him, enticing him, trying to put fear in him and depression and loneliness and heartache and whatever else. But Jesus said, I'm going to the cross. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this moment of time when Jesus was making preparation to go to the cross. And Lord, we honor him and we love him and we reverence him today as our Lord and our Savior and our King. And we praise you. And Lord, right now I pray over every home that's represented here, the precious blood of Jesus be over every family, every home. And I would ask, Lord, that you would loose your Holy Spirit power of anointing upon my brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, let us be a church on fire, a church passionate to be a church that's sold out. Let us be a church of obedience to your word. Father, let us be an end time church that will be radical for you. Let us be a church that will not be ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Lord, put a passion in us, put a desire and a fire within us to always want to be about the master's business. And we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Amen.
Lord bless you.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And look forward to seeing you next Sunday. Don't miss it. Or you'll, well, anyway.